Lakutei Sichas, Chelek Yudalid Parshas Dvarim, the second Sicha. We're going to not read it from the text, we're going to go through it as the Rebbe lays it out in the Sicha. This is a short and concise Sicha in Pshutei Shel Mikra. The Rebbe takes one sentence, all the Mepharshim tackle how to understand this sentence, its placement within the text, and the Rebbe will explain it simply in a straightforward manner in Pshutei Shel Mikra, based on the way Rashi understands this sentence. Okay, let us begin. There is a fundamental rule that the Rebbe sees in Rashi, and that is that Rashi addresses kol, every single question that would arise to the reader who's going through the Torah. If there's a question that one would have on the text of the Torah, Rashi must address it. And if he doesn't address it, then one of two possibilities. Either it's not a question, or Rashi addresses it somewhere else. Or if Rashi doesn't have an answer, he would actually tell us, any idea, I don't have an answer. So Rashi doesn't leave any stone unturned. If there's something in the text of the Torah that requires explanation, Rashi is there for us. And therefore, if we have a question and we see that there's something in this Torah, in this week's Torah portion that Rashi does not address, that means that we're not getting it, that Rashi already addressed it, or it must be very, very straightforward or simple. And with that introduction, let us venture on into this week's Sikh. You see, this week, Moshe begins his farewell address to the Jewish people, and he begins Toichacha. He begins rebuking them before he's going to pass away. He tells them, listen, you didn't always behave correctly. And one of the sagas that he reminds them of is the Meraglim. Yes, some 39 years ago, you asked me if I could send spies and scouts into Israel. I acquiesced, I agreed. The spies went in, they came back, and they discouraged you from entering the land, and you didn't have faith in Hashem, etc., etc. Because of that, Hashem said, this generation will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Im yira ish banoshim ha'ila, Hashem says, I promise none of these men will enter the land, hador hara hazeh, of this evil generation. They will not enter as eretz hatoy. They will not enter the good land, except for, continues the sentence, zulasi kalev ben yefuna, except for Kalev. Kalev, he was one of the righteous men who went in. Hu yirena, he will see the land. Yan, I promise, this is because Hashem, because he followed, he was filled with the spirit to follow God. All of a sudden, the Torah says, we interrupt this program, and the next sentence tells you, you know what Moshe says? I also was punished. God was also angry with me because of you. And he told me, I also will not go into this land. After saying that, the pasuk continues and says, there's another one of the spies who was a good guy. He's also going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua ben Nun, he will enter Eretz Yisrael, and you will not, except your children will. So, this is the monologue that Moshe gives the Jewish people. He tells them, guys, you messed up many years ago. Hashem promised that you wouldn't enter the land except for Yeshua. Then Moshe interrupts and says, I also am not going to go in because God got angry with me because of you. And then the narrative continues and saying, another one of the spies is going to enter, not just Kalev, also Yeshua. And the question is an obvious one. Why in the middle of this narrative, in the middle of this monologue, in the middle of this Toichacha, do we interrupt with a sentence about Moshe? How is that related? Moshe's not entering the land had nothing to do with the story of the spies, seemingly. Moshe wasn't able to enter because of this, what happened when he hit the rock. And that was because of the Jewish people, because of their complaining. That's true, but that happened 39 years later. It didn't happen at the same time. So the question is, why interrupt? Why interrupt this narrative with a sentence about Moshe not entering the land of Israel, which took place 39 years later and which was for an entirely different reason? Okay, there are three approaches the Rebbe will bring in this Sicha, all of which the Rebbe says do not fit with the way Rashi would see the text. So let's begin. First of all, there's the Ramban. The Ramban says, that the Torah lumps them together because the Torah is putting together all the different people who didn't enter the land of Israel for different reasons. Those sins go together. So therefore, the generation, they didn't enter the land of Israel. Why didn't they enter? That was because of the Meraglim. Moshe didn't enter because of the episode of the rock. It puts them together because we want to now tell you who's going into Israel and who's not going into Israel. The Rebbe asks three questions. First of all, if you want to put that in, why? Right in the middle here? It can be before, it can be after. Why in the middle of the story? Second of all, Moshe says, also because of you, I can't enter the land of Israel. What do you mean because of you? This is the generation that's going into Israel already. The previous generation has already died out, as we were told. They finished their punishment. They've already died out. These are the people who are going into Israel. It wasn't them. And lastly, even if for some reason you need to put it in there, why stick it in there right between Kalev and Yeshua? You couldn't find another place which doesn't literally interrupt the narrative? Other Mefarshim, the Abarbanel and others, say, no, we have a different explanation. Actually, Moshe not entering the land of Israel was also related to the Meraglim. You see, Moshe did play a part in the story. They came to Moshe. They asked him to send spies. Moshe acquiesced. Now, yes, he consulted with Hashem. Yes, it wasn't necessarily something that was wrong that he did. But because of him, had he said no, then the entire sin of the Meraglim would not have occurred. The spies wouldn't have been sent into Israel. So Moshe did have some culpability, and that's why Moshe inserts himself to put him there. Now, was it because of the rock as well? Yes, but there can be a combination and a number of reasons. For instance, an example would be Aaron's sons. Aaron's sons passed away. And if you look through, there are many reasons. They entered the Holy of Holies, they were drunk, they also had expressed and taught a law in front of Moshe and Aaron, etc. There are many reasons that it can be a conglomeration of reasons, all of which contribute to one outcome. And that can be the same thing here. And therefore, Moshe in the middle says, guys, what you did had an effect on me as well. Okay. Now, in addition to the fact that that doesn't answer why it had to be specifically between Kalev and Yeshua, you couldn't find a better place in the story itself to put that. Okay, fine. But even if that is true, that certainly can't be the way Rashi approaches it. Because Rashi had told us, Rashi says, and I'll quote the word, Shaloi hoisa bahem elazu bilvat, that the only and sole reason for Moshe not entering the land of Israel was because of the episode with the rock at Meimeriva. Haim levadam, ein bahem avinachar. It is they alone and no other sin that caused Moshe not to enter the land. Secondly, why does Moshe say God got angry because of you? Now, it wasn't you. It wasn't you who caused the anger. It was maybe I contributed in some way. But why does Hashem gambi his anach? Hashem got angry because of you. Hashem wasn't angry that Moshe hadn't done anything wrong. Maybe what happened later caused Moshe not to go into the land of Israel. Maybe it had an impact on Moshe. But Hashem wouldn't have been angry at Moshe. He didn't do anything wrong by letting them send the spies. They did something wrong by the outcome of the sending the spies. Okay, that's possibility number two. Possibility number three is perhaps the reason of the juxtaposition putting together Moshe's sin with the Meraglim sin is because the Torah wants to tell us the magnitude and the gravity of the Avera of Moshe. We find many times in the Torah that the Torah puts things together to show their gravity and weight. For instance, we have the section about the Para Aduma right next to the passing of Miriam. And there Rashi tells us, because we want to show you how the magnitude of Miriam's passing, that just as the Para Aduma had the ability, the Red Heifer had the ability to bring forgiveness, even for the most severe types of impurity, so too does the passing of the righteous have that ability. We have similarly later on in two Torah portions from now on, Akev, where there'll be a juxtaposition. Moshe will put Aaron's passing right next to talking about breaking the Luchis, the tablets. Why are those two put together? Because the Torah wants to tell us that the passing of the righteous are as serious as the breaking of the Luchis. So these are different reasons, different areas where we see that the juxtaposition of two things show the magnitude and the gravity of something. So perhaps the reason that we mention and we insert Moshe's sin, or the episode surrounding Moshe not entering Israel, the rock, right within the narrative of the Meraglim, of the spies, is to show us how severe and how serious Moshe's sin was. Says the Rebbe, first of all, we already know the gravity and the magnitude of what happened with Moshe. As we say, Yan lo hamantim bi lahakdisheni la'ini b'nei Yisrael. What Moshe did caused a desecration, or didn't bring to the sanctification of God's name. And we can go through the details of exactly what it was that took place at that time. But the Torah itself lets us know, we already know how important and how great and how grave Moshe's sin was. Number two, if the sole purpose here is to explain the gravity and the magnitude of Moshe's sin, then it should talk about the sin. It shouldn't talk about the result of the sin. Here, we're not talking about the sin. We're talking about the result of the sin. That I can't go into Israel, says Moshe, because of what happened. So these are the three possibilities, all of which the Rebbe negates in the Sicha for various and different reasons, and they do not fit with Rashi's interpretation. And therefore, when you see the answer, it's almost difficult to understand how there was a question to begin with. You read the text, it reads beautifully, it reads simply, and here is the Rebbe's understanding of this Torah, of this sentence. Moshe is speaking. He's telling the Jewish people that they did something wrong, they didn't have trust and faith in God, and therefore, they're not going to go into the land of Israel. Then, the Torah says, except for Kalev. Kalev is going to go into the land of Israel. Sentence one. The next sentence talks about Yeshua. Yeshua is going to go into the land of Israel. He's going to actually not only go into the land of Israel, he's not only going to see the land, he's actually going to help you acquire, settle, and inherit the land. In other words, the Torah is dividing between a man by the name of Kalev and a man by the name of Yeshua. Kalev, because of him being one of the good guys, he's going to get to see the land. And Yeshua is going to get to see the land, and he's going to actually get to be part of helping you inherit the land. He's going to lead you in there. Why is he going to lead you in there? Well, we have a sentence which parenthetically explains that. In other words, yes, they're both equally wonderfully acted virtuously when it came to the spies. But because I'm not going to be around anymore, Yeshua is going to be the one to take you in there. So therefore, first we mention Kalev. We say, okay, he's going to get to see it. Parentheses. Moshe says, and I'm not going to be around anymore. And then the sentence continues. Therefore, Yeshua is going to be the one to bring you in. That explains it beautifully. There the text reads perfectly, no need for any explanation, and you even wonder when you hear this answer, what was the question to begin with? That's the best type of question. And Rashi doesn't need to explain that because this is actually something we find many times in the Torah. We'll find the Torah will be in the middle of a narrative and it'll put one sentence in, so to speak, parentheses. You have when the Torah is describing the man, it talks about it and says, by the way, the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years. Not necessarily part of the narrative of the saga, but we include that to help us understand what will go further. Here as well, Kalev, you get to see Israel. Parentheses, Moshe says, I'm not going to be there. Continue, therefore Yeshua is going to not only see the land, he's going to help you inherit the land. And therefore, Moshe is saying, because of you, I can't go into Israel. Obviously, he's not talking about to these people. This is in parentheses. Parentheses means, because of you, the Jewish people, because of you complaining about the water, and because of you being rebellious towards Hashem, because of that, that brought about my inability to enter the land of Israel. However, if the sole point here is to have a parenthesis, then it should just be a parenthesis. Moshe should say, I'm not going to be around anymore. Why the necessity to add, I'm not going to be around anymore because of you? How does that seems to not fit within the narrative. Okay, I understand that you want to mention that Moshe is not going to be here to explain why Yeshua and Kalev are different. Yeshua is just going to go in as a bystander, whereas Kalev is going to only go in as a bystander, whereas Yeshua is going to go in as a leader to explain why Yeshua is going to be the leader. Okay, that's because Moshe is not going to be around anymore. Fine. But why mention that Moshe is not going to be around anymore because of you? Why is that important? Why doesn't Rashi address that issue? The answer is Rashi already did address that issue. 2 weeks ago, three Torah portions ago, in Parshas Pinchas, where it mentions Moshe's inability to go into the land of Israel because of what happened at Kadesh in the rock, there Rashi tells us the reason that we mention, the reason the Torah mentions the reason for Moshe not being able to go into Israel is because it wants to specify and single out that Moshe's sole reason for not going into Israel is because of what happened with the rock. In other words, he's not part of the rebellious nature, those who didn't believe, didn't trust, didn't have faith in Hashem during the desert. No, anytime the Torah mentions Moshe's passing, it will be sure to mention Moshe's passing is not related to, God forbid, heaven forbid, a lack of faith or trust in Hashem. It's a separate saga, a separate reason. It's his defending the honor of the Jewish people at Kadesh when it came to the rock and when it came to the well. And that, therefore, is the reason that even while we're in this parenthesis and we're just mentioning Moshe's passing or Moshe's inability to go into the land of Israel as a side note, parenthetically, here we still need to include the reason Moshe's not going in. Why is Moshe not going in? Because of the rock, not because of anything else. And that's for Moshe's honor. And this actually explains something else. The words in the Torah are, I'm not going to go in. Why am I not going to go in? Lemanchem, because of you. And it's actually interesting because next week's Parsha, Rashi is going to actually explain the word lemanchem. Grammatically, he's going to say that it means bishvilchem, for you. You caused this to happen. He's going to bring a sentence from Tehillim. But since that isn't the first place that the word lemanchem appears, that word appears right here, why doesn't Rashi see the necessity, feel the necessity to explain it, to translate it here? Why does he only translate it next week's Torah portion? And the answer is because really here, it's just parenthetical. It's not really part of the text. Therefore, Rashi does explain it. He explains it the first time where it's actually essentially a part of the narrative of the Torah. Again, once you see the way the Rebbe understands it, it's really difficult to understand what the question was to begin with. And this explains Pshutei Shel Mikra, the straight, simple, forward reading of the sentence according to Rashi. Thank you.